Chris Gibson, let's talk politics. First of all, it seems to me there are 1,000 people in the coming Republican primaries. Well, maybe not 1,000, but there's a lot of them. What are you making of the mess?
Well, I don't have a favorite at this point. I do think this. I do think that there are some candidates that are in the race that will help the discourse, will help the conversation. Let me illustrate. So I had an opportunity to sit next to Dr. Carson at a dinner maybe about a month and a half ago, and then had an opportunity to hear him speak. Talk about somebody who overcame very challenging circumstances, born into abject poverty, real significant struggle in his life early on. He had a life goal to become a neurosurgeon. And he struck out the first couple times that he tried to make that goal a reality. And ultimately, being persistent, working hard, he became not only a neurosurgeon, but one of the most accomplished in the world. And he's talking about issues of poverty and empowerment, how we can lift people up out of poverty. I think he's going to be a great addition to the race. Now, look, there are some things that he says policy-wise that I disagree with, and I think he would need significant he needs to negotiate a learning curve in terms of some of the national issues. I'm not ready to endorse him, but I do think having him in the race is helpful to our country. I think it's helpful to our party. Likewise, Carly Fiorina, I think she's going to have some hard questions to respond to about her tenure as a CEO. That's fair game. But I think having her in the race and having a strong female voice in the race for the GOP is helpful. It's helpful to the discourse. I think it's helpful to our party. I'm looking forward to a very robust debate over the next year or so, maybe even more, before that we arrive at who our candidate is. And I do think that that will be in the best interest of the American people ultimately.
Well, but it's clearly going to be Hillary versus Jeb Bush, isn't it?
No, I wouldn't say that at all. Because you know what? We could, I think, replay talk radio back in 2007. Everybody thought Hillary was a shoo-in then. She wasn't the candidate. And, the same for... you could give examples, I think, over the span of history that sometimes actually being the front runner earlier on is not. Look at Howard Dean. I mean, he went through a period where he was the front runner and he didn't become the nominee. So I know Republicans tend to have this, if you were second place last time, then you're the person this time. Well, we went through that with Mitt Romney, I guess. So I think it's pretty wide open. I know that when I'm all over our district, and in fact, since January, I've been in about half the counties in the in New York State. And, I think there's a real earthiness about the situation right now in the GOP that people are looking for fresh ideas, fresh faces. They want to see us bring forward solutions to the problems of our time. So I actually think that that works against Jeb Bush being the nominee.
Well, let me put it this way. You're a much smarter man than I am, and I know that.
However, I wouldn't say that at all.
And I defer to you. However, it ain't going to be Carly Fiorina, and it ain't going to be Dr. Carson. It's going to be somebody much better known to the rank and file, in my opinion. And if the Republicans have a brain in their heads, it's going to be Jeb Bush simply because he's the most moderate. But that doesn't mean he can win primaries.
Well, look, I think his position on Common Core is problematical. I have been opposed to that. I think you know that, Alan, from the very start. I'm for empowerment, not control on this score. I'm for local accountability. And it really is very concerning to me that Jeb Bush has embraced this and seems unrepentant on that score. I think we have seen in our own state over the last several years that it does not lead to more excellence. And I have been encouraged by the fact that there seems to be a pretty wide solidarity now, certainly across political spectrum and the ideological spectrum, that approach of top-down control has not been helpful. And I want to see us empowered. I think teachers are special. They already know they're not going to be rich, but they get to be rich at heart, inspiring, inculcating, and yes, educating. And that the best type of accountability is local accountability. And so, having a presidential candidate who wants to double down on Common Core, it's certainly going to have a challenge getting someone like my support.
Okay, well, I guess I've saved the best for last. And so there's an awful lot of talk about your running for governor of New York. I recently interviewed Ed Cox, the chairman of the Republican Party in the state, and your name certainly was right on the edge of his lips when he was talking about who might be a candidate for governor. And the rumors are coming out fast and furious that you're looking for. You just said to me that you've been in half the counties. That shows maybe that you're looking at it strongly yourself. So I'm wondering, how goes that?
Well, it is possible. And I am looking at it, but I'm not going to make a decision on it anytime soon. First and foremost, because the priorities that I'm most responsible for at the moment for the next 18 months is being the very best representative I can be for the 19th Congressional District. We plan on finishing strong. We're having our best legislative session to date. We've talked about some of those bills that we've authored and brought forward already in our conversations here today and the last time. That's the first priority. The second priority is helping our team get stronger. And we are following through, that is to say, the GOP team gets stronger. And I know that there may be a fair number of folks listening today who are registered Democrats. But I would think that anyone in this state, including Democrats, would want to see a situation where you'd have a viable two-party system. The history of mankind, absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. And I think it's in everyone's best interest that we would have a check and have a viable two-party system and allow for the debate of ideas to come forward, and we would select our governance.
Very well said, Chris. But I do want to ask you about Andrew Cuomo. Is he vulnerable?
Oh, I think so. I would think so, whether you're talking to Republicans or Democrats or independents. I think that, folks are very disturbed by the approach that he's taken to governance and, some of these policy choices. For example, there is just a real concern right now in the state of education, how we're going to proceed. And it appears that the governor is not listening and he's looking to double down on that approach. And as a consequence, you're seeing civil disobedience. I mean, that's what you're really seeing, classic civil disobedience across the state. They want our government to be as it was initially designed, and that is of the people, by the people, for the people.
We only got a minute left, but where's the civil disobedience now?
Well, they're opting out of the tests.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, sure. I mean, folks want to be heard. We are meant to be a self-governing people. The people get a voice in our policies. So, look, as I was saying, I believe I'm following through. I said I was going to help strengthen our team. I've done two candidate academies to date where we have helped bring a day-long session where we help our candidates with competence in terms of issue education, media training, debate preparation, organizing a campaign to connect with voters. We've done that. I've said I was going to help the state party raise money. I've done that. We've been helping the New York State GOP raise money. I've been traveling the state to rally our folks and to really get them oriented on the hard work that's necessary. Our eyes are wide open. It's a 2-1 Democratic state.
Okay, but Chris, I want to interrupt because only now I really do only have a minute. How do you get the people in New York City who don't know much about upstate, they don't know much about Albany, they don't know much about state politics to recognize who you are? Everybody up here knows who you are.
Well, for our candidates, whoever they may be, I mean, I think the key thing is integrity, first and foremost. And
yeah, but if the tree falls in the woods and nobody sees it or hears it, it doesn't happen.
Well, working at the grassroots level and getting advocates at the grassroots level, and in this day and age, with the ability to organize with social media and to advertise at very low dollar level on the internet, there's a real opportunity to connect because there's what I have noticed, and I've been in the city too, by the way, and I say half the state. I've been in all the boroughs in New York City. I've been in both counties on Long Island, and there's a real feeling that this current leadership is not getting it done. And that doesn't mean Republicans are going to win. That means there's an opportunity if we can translate that into connecting with voters to show that we have the solutions to the problems of our time. That's the work before us.
Great to talk to Congressman Chris Gibson. Chris, you're a wonderful fellow to come in here and spend this kind of time with us, and we all appreciate it very much. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Alan. Best wishes to everyone out there.